Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And remember, to have real stamina like Sergeant Preston, eat a nourishing breakfast every morning. Include a heaping bowl of delicious Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat with milk or cream and fruit. In every spoonful of the one shot from guns, you get added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So, eat a better breakfast, enjoy a better day, with plenty of stamina. In the warm weather of late spring, Sergeant Preston was traveling on horseback with his great dog, Yukon King, running alongside. The sergeant was looking for a notorious criminal named Hunch Sparkman. He was heading upstream along the bank of Silver River. As he neared the swift-flowing stream with its treacherous rapids, he saw three men floundering in the water and a wrecked canoe being dashed from rock to rock. Two of the men reached shore without help, but the third man needed assistance. Without hesitation, the sergeant plunged into the river and brought him to shore. Despite the fact that he was unconscious, the third man clung to a wooden box. While the others watched, Sergeant Preston examined him.
He's regaining consciousness.
Is he hurt bad?
Well, he seems to have been stunned. Probably struck his head on a rock.
He'd have had a lot less trouble if he hadn't hung on to that box.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for that, he wouldn't have lost control of the canoe.
I wonder what's in it.
My violin.
Violin?
Is that what's in this box?
Yes. I was afraid I'd lost it.
Who are you?
Jim Dallas.
Who are your friends?
I'm Shadow. My partner's named Hasty.
You're a mounted policeman.
Yes, I'm Sergeant Preston. Which one of you owned that canoe?
Shanto and I owned it, Sergeant.
Well, if you're rivermen, you should have known it'd be dangerous to try to shoot these rapids this time of year.
We run them before without any trouble. We'd have gotten through this time. That didn't for that locoed greenhorn in his box.
Yeah, he lost his head as soon as a little water washed over us.
Yeah, he dropped his paddle and grabbed the box. Next thing I knew, the canoe was spinning.
And we struck the rocks.
You were lucky to be thrown clear.
Yeah, we've lost our canoe and all our gear, thanks to Dallas and his box.
The way he hung on to it, I figured it was filled with gold.
If it had been filled with gold, I'd have let it go.
You what? Call a fiddle more valuable than gold?
That particular violin's worth more gold than you'll ever see.
Well, you look...
That's enough.
I'm sorry about it, Shanto. If I had any cash, I'd make good your loss. The money I paid you two for a place in your canoe was all I had.
Steady.
My head.
Well, don't try to stand yet.
I feel kind of weak.
Stay where you are for the time being. I'll build a fire and dry our clothing.
You needn't worry about Shanto and me, Sergeant. The air is warm enough to dry us out. We'll head for town. We'll have to buy supplies to take to my place.
You're going directly to Freezon?
Yeah.
Would you deliver a message to the constable?
Sure thing.
I'll write a note now. What's your destination, Jim?
I'm going to freeze out. But the way I feel...
You'll be all right in a little while. Here's the note, Hasty.
We'll see that it reaches the constable.
Thanks.
So long, Sergeant Preston.
Bye. Come along, King. I'll gather wood and build a fire. And I'll give you something to eat, Jim.
The fire served a dual purpose. It dried out wet clothing and heated food. After Jim had eaten, Sergeant Preston helped him pry the lid off the wooden box that held the oilskin-wrapped violin case. Jim unwrapped the case and opened it with trembling hands. From it, he lifted a narrow-waisted violin. Careful packing had protected the instrument. It was unharmed.
Thank heavens it wasn't damaged.
Where? May I see that violin, Jim?
Of course, here.
Thanks. A Guarnerius. Why, this is nearly as valuable as a Stradivarius or an Amati.
As Jim showed the sergeant his treasured violin, Shanto and Hasty were making their way toward the town of Freezeout.
Let's see Preston's message to the constable, Shanto.
Oh, yeah. Here. What was it say?
The constable's to bring an extra horse for Jim Dallas and meet Preston on the trail at the rapids. That's all. He doesn't mention us. He must not have recognized us.
There's no reason why he should. The Mounties don't know what we look like. Hunch is the one they want.
Yeah, there's a reward for Hunch and a reward for his gang.
Not much of a gang since Pete was killed. There's only the two of us left, and no one but Hunch knows we work with him.
One thing is sure. If Preston knew it, we'd be wearing handcuffs. I wonder if he's looking for Hunch.
Hmm.
We'd better tell Hunch we saw him.
Hey, I'll be mighty glad to see the boss.
You'll not see him till tomorrow morning.
At your place?
That's the plan.
Maybe he'll have a job for us.
We already have a job, Shanto.
Huh?
I'm thinking of Dallas's fiddle. $5 or $10 will buy any fiddle in the pawn shop at Freezeout. Jim Dallas must know that as well as we do.
What about it?
He said that if that box had been filled with gold, he'd have let it go.
I heard that. I thought he was loco for saying it.
Now, what if Dallas has a letter or a map that tells where to find more gold than a case that size could hold?
What makes you think he has anything like that?
Well, he has something mighty valuable in that fiddle case. Or in the violin.
That'd explain why he hung on to it.
And why he was so anxious not to lose it.
I think you're right, Hasty. But how'll we get hold of that fiddle?
Dallas told us he was heading for Freezeout. We'll deliver Preston's note to the constable and wait in town for Jim.
Hasty and Shanto delivered Sergeant Preston's note to Constable Terry in Freezeout. The constable saddled two horses and left town immediately. He went directly to the meeting place. A short time later, Sergeant Preston left to continue the search for Hunch Sparkman, while the constable and Jim continued toward town.
What are my chances of finding a job as a violinist in Freezeout?
You've about the same chance as a snowball on the equator.
But I have to find work.
Are you broke?
I haven't a dime.
And my advice is pawn your fiddle at Rye Poley's pawn shop. Buy yourself a pan, a pick and shovel, and do what all the other fiddlers have done.
Who owns the pawn shop in Freezeout?
Rye Poley. I've been told he used to be a first-rate musician. But then the Yukon's no place for anything but brass bands. Rye found out he couldn't make a living as a performer, so he opened a hawk shop.
Is he trustworthy?
In my opinion, he's one of the finest men in town.
Well, thanks for the information. I'll call on Rye Poley as soon as we reach Freezeout.
Come on, boy.
Get him.
In town, Hasty and Shanto were watching from the porch of the hotel some distance away as Jim Dallas entered the pawn shop.
Mr. Poley, I'm Jim Dallas.
How do you do?
I want to borrow some money on this violin, but I want to be sure you'll not sell it or let anything happen to it. You see, this isn't an ordinary fiddle.
I've seen lots of fiddles in my life, young fella.
Have you ever seen a violin made by Joseph del Gesù Guarnerius?
A Guarnerius violin? No, I've never seen one, but I've read so much about them that I'd recognize one if I saw it. Not that I'll ever see one.
I have one.
You have? I don't believe it. A Guarnerius? Oh, it couldn't be.
I'll show it to you. Here it is.
Yes. Yes, it is a Guarnerius. The real thing. Where did you get it?
It's been in my family for generations.
My boy, why in the world did you come to the Yukon with an instrument like this?
Well, when Dad died, I was alone. I came here because I thought people would pay real money to hear good music played on a fine instrument. I hoped to be able to earn enough to go abroad to finish my musical education. I haven't been able to earn enough to buy a ticket home. That's why I'm here to borrow money. I decided to take Constable Terry's advice and try prospect.
All right, Jim. I'll lend you the money you need. And I promise you I'll take mighty good care of your violin. A Guarnerius here in my shop.
Jim concluded his business with Rye Poley and left the pawn shop. Then he headed for the trading post to buy some supplies and a small outfit. His former companions, Hasty and Shanto, followed at a distance.
Hey, where's his fiddle, Hasty?
He left it in the pawn shop.
Well, then he hocked it to get cash. Hey, look. In the trading post window.
Yeah. Shanto, he's buying prospecting gear.
So, he's going after gold.
I told you he must have been carrying a map and that fiddle. Now I'm sure of it.
Shall we follow him when he leaves town?
We'll watch for our chance and try to bushwhack him when no one will see us.
When Jim left the trading post, he went directly to the hotel. The events of the day had nearly exhausted him. He rented a room and decided to rest for a while. He fell asleep at once. It was dark when he wakened. He dressed quickly and left the hotel, intending to go to a nearby restaurant for a light meal. He walked down the dark street, and as he passed an alley...
Let him have it. What the...
A sharp blow on the head knocked Jim unconscious. As he lay motionless, Shanto gripped him beneath the arms and dragged him to the back of the alley. Then the two thieves began to search him.
Yeah, good thing we saw him coming, Hasty. Saved us going to the hotel to get him.
Did you find anything in his pockets?
Only his wallet.
What's in it?
Let's see. Near as I can make out in the light coming from that window. There's cash, pawn ticket, and some identification.
Is that all?
That's all. What did you find?
Nothing. Whatever was in that fiddle is still in it.
Well, the fiddle's at Poley's pawn shop.
Take his cash. We'll tie and gag him and leave him here where no one will find him till morning. Then we'll go to that hawk shop and get that fiddle.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. You know, the other morning at breakfast, I was just about to pour myself a heaping bowlful of Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice when the strangest thing happened. I can't believe it yet. There was a terrible pounding on the door. Well, I opened the door, and in walked a giant.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
What do you want here?
I'm looking for a rascal named Jack. Lives next to a beanstalk.
Oh, Jack and the Beanstalk. Oh, you have the wrong address.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I'm hungry. What are you eating?
Well, matter of fact, I was just trying to decide whether to eat Quaker popped rice or Quaker popped wheat.
Never tasted them myself.
Oh, you'd really go for these ready-to-serve breakfast cereals.
Why?
Well, they're so big, like yourself. They're giant size because the choice sun-ripened premium grains of wheat and rice are shot from guns.
What?
Yes, they're exploded up to 8 times normal size. Why don't you try some?
Well, pour out 3 or 4 packages for me.
With a giant appetite like yours, you can't beat crisp, delicious Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat.
Fee, fi, fo, yum. Come on, let's eat.
I'd say, that's a good idea for you fellas and girls listening in. Treat yourself to delicious Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. Neither Hasty or Shanto knew that Sergeant Preston was closing in on the man they called Boss. Hunch Sparkman had stopped beside the trail some distance north of Hasty's cabin. He was preparing a meal when the sergeant moved in from the moonlit darkness.
Got your hands up, Sparkman. That's right. You're under arrest. That's for making a play for your gun. I'll bandage it after your handcuffed and searched.
How'd you know where to find me?
Been looking for you. Well, I saw your campfire. I came closer to investigate, and I recognized you. You know the rest. Watch him while I search him, King.
Hey, you call that dog King. You must be Preston.
I am.
Yeah, I've heard of you.
That makes us even.
If you're looking for a sneak gun, you're wasting your time.
I'll make sure of that. What's this?
Nothing that would mean anything to you.
A map, eh?
What if it is?
Here's the town of Freezeout, the river, and an X at a cabin on the river's edge.
You wouldn't know that cabin.
I passed it this afternoon. It was deserted.
Yeah, well, that... Say, Preston, If I was to show you where to find some of that bark money I haven't been able to spend, would the law give me a break?
I'll make no promises, Sparkman.
I'll take a chance. The loot's in that shack on the river where it's marked on the map.
Oh? Well, we'll go there and get it.
That suits me.
In freeze-out, Rye Poley was in the living quarters at the rear of his pawn shop. He sat at the table examining the beautiful old violin Jim had left with him. Suddenly, he heard a noise in the shop.
Hmm?
He put down the violin, went to a desk. Taking his pistol from a drawer, he moved to the door leading to the shop. He opened it cautiously. Hasty had anticipated discovery. He stood at one side of the door. As Rye Poley stepped into the shop, Hasty struck quickly. He brought the barrel of his gun down on the pawnbroker's head.
Did you get him, Hasty?
Yeah, I'll take his gun. Hurry up and get that fiddle.
Yeah, there's one here on the counter near an empty fiddle case. That must be the one we want.
Shake it. See if anything's inside.
Yeah, there's a paper of some kind in here.
Rye Poley had been stunned by the blow on the head. He was slowly regaining consciousness. He heard voices and lay still.
At last we have Jim Dallas's fiddle.
Put it into the case. We'll take it with us to my cabin.
We might have trouble finding your place in the dark.
All we do is head north along Silver River Trail. My shack's the first one you'll see on the right. Only about 2 miles from here.
Then we can't miss it. Hey, what'll we do about Poley?
Leave him right where he is. It'll be a long time before he's able to walk. Come on, let's go.
As Rye Poley struggled to his feet, it never occurred to him to look on the table in his living quarters for Jim's violin.
My head.
Having overheard the conversation, he believed that Hasty and Chateau had found the Guarnerius while he was unconscious. Frantic over the loss of the prize instrument, he hurried toward the door and shouted,
"Constable! Constable! Constable!"
Meanwhile, Jim Dallas had managed to free himself of the ropes that had bound him. He took the gag from his mouth and was heading for Constable Terry's office to report what had happened when he met Rye Poley. Rye was holding his hand to his throbbing temple.
Constable! Constable Terry!
Mr. Poley!
Oh, Jim! Jim, something terrible has happened. Two men came to my place and stole your violin.
What?
Yes, they hit me on the head. I came to and I heard them talking. I'm on my way with the constable. Oh, my head.
What did they look like, Mr. Poley?
I couldn't see their faces, but they called each other Hasty and Chanto.
Hasty and Chanto?
Yes. They said they'd take the river trail north. They'll stop at the first cabin they come to on the right side of the trail, about 2 miles from here. And from what I heard, I think the man named Hasty owns the place.
I'll follow them.
But you better hurry, Jim.
I'll need a horse.
Mine is in the stable next to the shop. Take it, Jim, and don't waste a minute.
Thanks, Mr. Poley.
I'll go for the constable.
Jim quickly saddled Rye Poley's big black horse and left town.
Get up there!
The moonlight was bright enough to light the trail dimly. Jim rode hard in an effort to overtake the two men, but they were traveling fast. They reached the cabin at the river's edge a short time ahead of him. Leaving their horses ground hitched, they hurried inside. Hasty lit an oil lamp, and then Chanto opened the violin case.
Hasty, it'll be some job to get that paper out of this fiddle.
Don't waste time trying to fish it out. Break the fiddle across your knee.
All right.
There it is, Chateau. A piece of cardboard fell out.
Hey, there's writing on it.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Well, what's it say?
It's a pawn ticket from Chicago.
But there's got to be something else.
Yeah, we'll examine the pieces to make sure we didn't miss anything.
A short time later, Jim Dallas saw the lighted cabin through the trees ahead.
Oh, there. Easy.
Hit the ground running and opened the cabin door without knocking.
Hey, what's that? Chanto, Hasty. You've smashed my violin.
Looking for your map, Dallas. Now that you're here, where is it?
My violin. Broken beyond repair.
You know you had something mighty valuable hidden inside it. But when we slugged you and searched you, you didn't have it on you.
You're the ones who robbed me.
Yeah, that's right. Now, where'd you hide the paper you took from the violin?
There was nothing in the violin.
Then why were you so anxious to have it from the rapids, huh?
You keep him covered, Hasty.
Yeah, right.
Search him.
What did you take out of that fiddle, Dallas?
Nothing.
You're lying.
Don't hit him, Chanto. We want him to talk.
There was nothing in the violin. It was the instrument itself that was valuable.
Don't try to fool us, Jim.
It's the truth. That violin was worth a fortune.
Huh? Why?
It was made over 150 years ago by a man named Guarnerius. Can never be replaced. It was priceless.
Hasty, did you hear that?
I heard it.
We had a fortune in our hands, and we... Oh, of all the blasted luck.
Too late now to do anything about it. How'd you know we had the fiddle?
Rye Poley told me.
Poley will tell the constable.
That Mountie may come here.
We better clear out.
We can't. We have to wait for Hunch.
Well, we got to.
Put ropes on, Dallas. Throw him on the bunk. and blow out the lamp. I'll stay here while you get the horses out of sight. If the constable shows up, we'll be ready for him.
20 minutes later, the waiting outlaws heard hoofs approaching. Hasty listened for a moment, then said,
Shanto, those horses aren't coming from town.
Maybe it's Hunch.
If it is, he has someone with him. We'll wait till those riders come into view along the trail.
I see him now. It's Hunch. He's handcuffed.
There's a Mountie with him. It looks like Preston.
It is Preston.
I told you he was looking for Hunch.
Well, he got him now.
They're coming here.
Shall we let Preston have it?
I'll wait till they're inside. We'll have the drop on that Mountie. Then we'll see what Hunch wants us to do.
The two outlaws waited tensely between the door and window as Sergeant Preston approached the cabin. Jim Dallas had managed to free his feet. He was making a desperate effort to free his hands to help the Mountie, but he knew there wasn't time enough for that when he heard Hasty say,
"They'll be inside in a minute, Shanto."
Jim swung his feet to the floor and shouted a warning.
"Look out, Sergeant Preston!
Hey, what?
There's two of them in here waiting for you!
Hey, you dirty...
Get Preston, Shanto. I'll take care of Dallas.
I can't see the Mountie. He's hugging the side of the cabin.
I'll get Dallas."
The door burst open and Preston rushed into the cabin with his gun drawn. Hasty fired at Jim Dallas. The open door startled the outlaw.
Get the Mountie!
His shot went wild. The Mountie saw Shanto whirl from the window to face him.
Right.
Sergeant's gun went into action a split second before Shanto's. Shanto was hit. Hasty turned from Jim Dallas to cover Preston.
Get your hands up, Mountie.
But Jim managed to throw his weight against the thief, knocking him off balance. Hasty's second shot went wild.
Good work, Jim. Drop your gun, Hasty. Your partner's out of the fight.
Get him, boys. Get the Mountie.
Hasty, I told you to drop your gun.
All right. Don't shoot me.
Oh, my shoulder. You hit me in the shoulder.
Jim.
Right here, Sergeant. My hands are tied.
Come over here where I can see you, and I'll cut those ropes. That's better. There. Now light a lamp.
Right.
You two stay where you are. There's enough light coming through that window and the open door to make you perfect targets.
There you are, Sergeant. Now we'll have plenty of light.
Good. Pick up those guns, Jim. Keep these two covered while I go outside for their boss.
It'll be a pleasure.
All right, Sparkman. Come inside. Good work, King. You did a fine job guarding our prisoner.
You mean my boys didn't get you?
Unfortunately for you, they didn't.
What's wrong with you two? I led Preston here like a lamb to slaughter, and you muffed your chance to get him.
Oh, my shoulder. He put a bullet in my shoulder.
Two against one, and you couldn't take him. Who's this?
My name's Dallas. Jim Dallas.
I'm glad you were here, Jim.
You're the one who scented that hornet.
That's right.
I'm grateful to you, Jim, but what brought you here?
I came to try to stop those two from smashing my violin.
Your violin?
They stole it. I got here too late.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yes. So am I.
Jim, you've earned a reward. Several banks and a mining syndicate have offered rewards for the capture of Sparkman and his gang.
A couple of hours ago, I'd have been glad to hear that. I wanted money to go abroad to study. But without my violin...
There are other violins.
There'll never be another like that.
Ho.
Sergeant Preston, they admitted to me that they knocked me out earlier tonight and stole my money. They probably have the cash in their pockets.
Got it?
It's in my pocket. Take it, Dallas. Oh, but please, Preston, do something about my shoulder.
I'll bandage it for you, and we'll search this place for hidden loot. When we reach town, the doctor will examine your wound.
I found my money. It was in Shanto's pocket.
Sergeant Preston, I thought I heard your voice in here. What... You got Sparkman.
And his gang, thanks to Jim Dallas.
Jim, I came here to get the men who broke into Polly's pawn shop.
There they are, Constable.
They'll be tried for more than the theft of Jim's violin.
But they didn't steal Jim's violin.
What did you say?
The doctor and I took Rye back to the pawn shop to bandage his head and put him to bed. When we got there, we found Jim's violin on the table where Rye had left it.
What?
Those crooks took one from the front of the shop.
Constable... Are you sure of that?
You'll see for yourself when we get back to town, Jim. Rye said if he hadn't been so anxious to report the robbery, he'd have taken time to look around. He didn't know the true facts till we got back to his place.
Then my violin's safe. That's great news.
Yes, it is, Jim.
What's this talk about a violin?
We thought by stealing it, we'd be able to cut you in on something worthwhile, boss. Instead of that, we got the wrong fiddle and cut ourselves in on a trip to jail.
You're right, Hasty. This case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
Tasting. 1, 2, 3. Tasting.
Yes, tasting is the test that makes Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat the favorite breakfast cereal of the whole family. You fellas and girls go for the puff to perfection goodness of the one shot from gun. The extra crisp taste, safeguarded by the sealed inner lining of the package. Dad and Mom like the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural grain. The sun-ripened flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it. These premium grains are never coated with factory sweetening. After all, some of the family like their cereal not so sweet, while others like it ever so sweet. And here's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. The whole family can sweeten them with sugar to suit themselves. And say, fellas and girls, the latest bulletin says it's coming, coming next Thursday. A terrific, amazing offer on this program. If you like camping, hikes, cooking outdoors like gold prospectors, listen Thursday. Don't miss this program next Thursday. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, a sourdough named Scotty Digby has been murdered. He was carrying $1,200 at the time.
I knew Scotty, sir. He had a trap line in partnership with a young French chap named Andre.
Well, it's said that they had an argument, and Andre threatened Digby. Get Andre and bring him in for questioning. I'll not be satisfied until you catch the killer with sufficient proof to hang him.
I'll do my best, sir.
In his efforts to get proof against Digby's killer, Sergeant Preston little knows the unusual turn of events that will cause him to face the killer's gun. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time. On Thursday, by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from gun. Boys, girls, hurry. Get this special brand new collection of 18 Braves of Indian Nations trading cards. That's 18 Indian trading cards, all different. All reproductions of original paintings of famous Indians. Set includes Arapaho War Dance, Hopi Snake Dancer, Blackfeet Buffalo Hunter, Sitting Bull, Geronimo, Crazy Horse, to name a few. Every card in full colors, stiff back, regular playing card size. These exciting Indian trading cards are not on sale in stores. They're offered only by Quaker Pakco 10. That's Quaker Pakco 10. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings of 6 different favorite ready-to-serve cereals. Remember, only Pakco 10 has wheat and rice shot from guns. And inside special new packages now at grocers, you get a sample Indian trading card free of extra cost. To get an entire collection of 18 in a hurry, do this. But act fast. Supply is limited. Right now, tonight, send name, address, and 10 cents. That's only 10 cents. Together with money-back guarantee seal or special order blank from bottom of Pakco 10 package. Mail to Indian Cards, Box 712, I'll repeat that, Box 712, Chicago 77, Illinois. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.